Hey everyone, it's Mike Schutten here with Ananine Heiss, and we get to do the third of the Federal Election Podcast series. So, Anna, you excited about this?
I'm very excited. We're getting into a specific topic, not just general election. We're trying to talk about abortion and how we can talk about abortion with candidates and how we try to bring the abortion message in Canada. So,
you bet. Yeah. But before we get into that issue, just a quick recap. This is, as I said, the third. The first episode saw my colleagues Ryan and Colin kind of just set the table for the election. What's ARPA's interest in the election? What are some of the issues that we're looking for to be discussed by not just the candidates, but by the federal party leaders? And then the second episode, I think Colin invited John and Daniel, both of them. So there was three of them, our colleagues in Ottawa. And they talked about some of the recent polling. Obviously, those of you who are watching the election have seen the polling completely switch from about 2 months ago, and what that might mean for the work of ARPA Canada and for some of those topics that we've been digging a little deeper on in the last number of years. They touched on things like abortion, euthanasia, pornography, hate speech, etc. And now, as Anna said, this third episode, we're going to start digging into some of these more serious issues a bit deeper. Anna, can you just share with our listeners, abortion? Like, why is that something that ARPA Canada recognizes the importance of, they put and allocate so many resources to and have for many years? Like, why is that?
Yeah, so We Need a Law started in 2012 because we really saw this need, right, for there to be a specific focus on the issue of abortion. So we deal with a lot of issues, and these issues like euthanasia and gender identity and all these things that do impact a lot of people, but still nowhere near the scale of impact that abortion has. So the most recent stats just came out, and the numbers are, again, more than 100,000 preborn children were lost to abortion in 2023 in Canada. So just massive numbers. When we look at euthanasia, and we're like 15,000 lives in a year is a lot to lose to euthanasia. But every year we're losing 100,000 preborn children, and very little is being said about it, and they can't advocate for themselves. So really putting the time and effort into keeping abortion top of mind in a country where people don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's important that we also recognize that like it's been almost 40 years since Canada has had no legal restrictions on abortion. And yeah, it's I submit that on the like a scale of magnitude of injustice, like this one far exceeds all of the other injustices that are also worthy of our attention. We give a lot of attention to things like, you know, how do we treat people suffering from gender dysphoria? How do we treat people? How do we, view people who are faced with disabilities or terminal illnesses when it comes to euthanasia and so on? I would say that the response to the suffering of an unplanned or an unwanted pregnancy is a tragedy in God's eyes. And for that reason, ARPA Canada rightly puts a lot of resources. I think just even the photo behind us here, right, that very first flag display in 2014, and 100,000 flags on Parliament Hill. So, yeah, it's something that I think has been near and dear to our hearts, obviously to many people's hearts. That's one thing, to recognize the injustice.
Yeah, so then we've actually really been thinking about, like, how do we address the injustice when we are in a country where there is no appetite for a full ban on abortion? So We Need a Law really started with this approach of, let's find common ground with other Canadians. Where do we actually agree? Most Canadians don't even know that late-term abortion, for instance, is legal in Canada, or sex-selective abortion. So really talking to Canadians about abortion, not in this polarized black and white way, but saying, what is our responsibility to the preborn child? Where are you not okay with abortion? And trying to build on that common ground and continue to build that that change of heart, really. It's to say that these are children and they're human beings and they deserve human rights. And we as born humans have a responsibility to protect human rights. And so we've kind of gone into this incremental approach of what are laws the majority of Canadians could support, that we could take some steps to start protecting preborn children as we work to protect them all eventually in Canada.
Yeah. It's always, just seeing the flag display again and then thinking of, just as a bit of an aside, the flag displays have all been replenished. And so I've been part of and seen a few of the new ones that have been set up, and the flags are crisp and look great. And I'm always just struck by that, how they looked. They look so beautiful, the displays, but they represent something so tragic, and how we want there to be no flags. Mm-hmm. We want there to be a country, live in a country that values the lives of all preborn children and protects them all. But how do we get to that point, right? All these pink flags, for example, representing girls aborted many times just because they're a girl, mm-hmm. right? So I think you're right in the sense of we need to find that common ground. That's been our approach since this campaign was initiated in 2012, 13 years ago. It's crazy to think that it's been that long already. So what are then some of those specific ways that We Need a Law, that those who support the work of We Need a Law through ARPA Canada, what are some of those ways that we want to take those first steps? And I think it's important to recognize too that we're talking here about the political arm of the pro-life movement, right? So there's other work being done in the pro-life movement, the pastoral arm when it comes to pregnancy care centers and their important work, education. There's a lot of organizations focused on just trying to change culture, change hearts and minds. In the political arm, when it comes to policies and laws, what are some of the things we've worked on? Let's highlight some of the successes that we have had in those 13 years and where we see things going.
Yeah, and I think it is really important to note that even in the last 10 years of having the most pro-abortion government Canada has ever had, we've also seen the first pro-life bills introduced since the late 80s, early 90s. Like, there has been no legislation introduced with the word abortion in it until the mm-hmm. Sex Selective Abortion Act was introduced in 2021, I believe, when MP Kathy Wagenthal introduced that. So sex selective abortion, you kind of mentioned the pink flags, recognizing that more girls are aborted than boys. And they found consistently through studies, this isn't random. People are choosing that they would rather have boys in some cases, and they're aborting healthy girls because they're girls. So we talk about that because we are a country that values equality of the sexes and that values human rights. And there's a real understanding that to say abortion is about women's rights and then to say abortion actually targets women more than boys is a real disconnect. And people can really understand the injustice of that. So we talk about sex selective abortion and the idea that we should ban that. We should say as a country, this is something we do not support. And there are times when the majority of Canadians can agree that abortion is not okay. Mm-hmm. Similar when we talk about the preborn victims of crime law. So again, we've seen two bills introduced that would protect women or would recognize their children when pregnant women are victims of violent crime. So you may be familiar with our There Were Two campaign, where we say in a crime against a pregnant woman, there are two victims and our law needs to see them both. So right now, a child is not recognized as a human being until it proceeds completely from its mother, it says in the criminal code. So until it's born. And so if a baby is killed in a violent crime against a pregnant woman, we can't count that child as a victim, and the murderer cannot be charged with the murder of that child. So we've had two laws introduced in an mm-hmm. attempt to change that, mm-hmm. Which is, again, we've seen growing support for those laws because these injustices keep happening. Just last month in Ontario, there was another case, right, of a man charged with murdering his pregnant girlfriend because she wouldn't have an abortion. And again, that baby couldn't be counted. So we work on a preborn victims of crime law to say, again, this is where most Canadians, we recognize this as a human being. We recognize that this is an injustice being done, and our law should reflect that.
Yeah. It's actually like on that specific initiative of We Need a Law, preborn victims of crime, I find like whether it's at flag displays or in conversations at events that we do and so on, that always really resonates with people as far as, yes, we need something here. Because that law, while it doesn't impact abortion specifically, it speaks to women's choice in the sense of a woman chooses to carry her child to term and somebody else, a third party, interrupts that choice and harms or kills the child. That child is not recognized as a right. human being whatsoever. And the families that we were able to work with along with MP Kathy Wagenthal in the introduction of those bills, I found did just such a it was so powerful, their testimony as to how this impacted their lives. And many of them would, if you ask them, are you pro-life or pro-choice, would say, I'm pro-choice. But they see the need for a preborn victims of crime law.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we see that humanity, because often these pregnancies are far enough along that that baby has been named. They've bought baby clothes for that child. There's a real recognition of the humanity that's lost, and that can start to shift people's opinion also on abortion more broadly to say, clearly, we go to baby showers, we celebrate pregnancy, we understand that there is a boy or a girl who's going to be born. Mm-hmm. And so it just really, can impact people's thinking and help them to realize why people would be opposed to abortion and why there would be a good reason to protect preborn children.
Yeah. I think it's also very important to note here, like we talked about sex selective abortion law, a bill that's been introduced. That bill it got support from the entire Conservative Party, if I recall, right? So that
the most recent one did,
a step in the right direction for sure. The pre-born victims of crime bills have very much been pitched as public safety bills, those types of measures. But I'm just thinking here about it a little deeper because we're in the middle of an election campaign. And while there are a number of political parties that are pro-life, they're very fringe. And we're thankful that people are running under those banners and trying to elevate this issue. One of the leading parties actually has as part of their party policy both of these matters.
Yes.
Right? The Conservative Party of Canada, as part of their official position as a party, is opposed to sex-selective abortion and is in favor of a pre-born victims of crime law. Right? So those are things I think we just want to highlight, because if you're, during this campaign, volunteering for a candidate, candidates come to your door, especially if they're Conservative candidates, remind them of this, that, mm-hmm. hey, your party said that they're going to do something to prevent sex-selective abortion. They're going to do something to implement a pre-born victims of crime law. If elected, what are you going to do about that? Yeah. Are you going to continue to just dismiss those serious concerns that especially families who have been impacted by this injustice have endured? Or are you going to take action? So, yeah, just a reminder there. To
recognizing sure that, to they're your representative, right? Like, they're supposed to represent you, and they're supposed to represent what the party base has said, and that's what those policy platforms come from, is the party has voted on those, like supporters of the party have asked for those things, and so that's who they're representing.
Yeah.
So to remind them of their responsibility to act on that.
I think it's worth so noting that we do have other initiatives at the federal and provincial level. We don't, for the interest of time, we're not going to go into all of them, but I do want to transition a little bit into, like, during this election now, how can the average pro-lifer take some of the work that We Need Law has been doing and make that applicable? And I think I want to start it off by just tackling one of the issues that we're constantly faced with when we juggle this, you know, being involved in the political arm, how to find common ground with the fact that Anna and I, ARPA Canada, We Need Law is very much pro-life. Like, we believe that from fertilization, from conception onwards, God has initiated and started a new human being. And that human being is in the process of development, et cetera. All of those lives ought to be protected. But here we're talking about things that kind of are just at the edges of the abortion debate when it comes to that common ground. I think that makes sense. But if you're a pro-lifer, you think all abortion is an injustice. How do you become engaged with something like this? Like, what perspective ought we to have?
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, is to never compromise on that key position of the goal is to protect all preborn children, because all preborn children have value and are a human life. And so, yeah, when we talk about Canada being the only democratic country in the world with no protection for preborn children, kind of going that bigger picture and saying every other country recognizes that these children deserve protection. They've chosen different points at which to put in that protection, but to really recognize and to point out to candidates that Canada's really in an extreme position here, that we are kind of alone in the world in this, and that when the law was struck down in 1988, the intention of the court was not that Canada would have no abortion law. And Parliament has actually failed to do their part, and Parliament has failed to protect vulnerable preborn children. Mm-hmm. So just calling on Parliament really to do their job, to make laws to protect the vulnerable, and to point out again and again, yeah, that this is human life, and human life has value, and it's worth protecting. And I think it is, we do have our international standards law, which talks about things like waiting periods, so that when someone requests an abortion, they aren't getting it the same day. And it talks about independent counseling. So things like, you're not going to an abortion clinic, and someone who has a vested financial interest in you choosing abortion is the only person you talk to.
Yeah.
So actually getting women to talk to someone outside of that. And we also do work to support. So the Liberal government had threatened to take away funding for pregnancy care centers, or to take away their charitable tax status. Yeah. And then to speak up and say, no, these organizations are so valuable to society. And if we are going to have an end to abortion, that could mean 100,000 more babies in Canada in a year. Something needs to change in our society to allow to support that and to be there for those women and those children. And so those organizations are so crucial to support in your local community, but also when they're threatened by the government, to really speak up for them as...
Yeah, there's no end to the amount of areas, I think, where we actually can find common ground with people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk to the average Canadian who, as I said earlier, might identify as pro-choice, they also have empathy towards women and the help that they might require if they're faced with an unplanned pregnancy, right? So therefore, the importance of pregnancy care centers and so on. I think that obviously with all of these discussions, like at root, there is a clash of worldviews in a sense, right? And that's what we see and does come up, especially at things like Flag Displays, where sometimes we get into longer, deeper conversations with people where, you know, it comes right down to that. But when it comes to the political support, oftentimes our focus is on, no, let's just find that common ground. Mm-hmm. So Anna, it's an election. Clearly at election time is when Canadians are more in tune with what's going on. They're watching what's happening. We've been hearing a lot about, you know, things like tariffs and how do we respond to the United States and all of that. I think those are important issues. Obviously, these are important issues too. So what are practical ways that people can, I often say, like, inject this narrative into the narrative of the federal election? How can we do that? What are some ways that we can do that? Where can people go to find a bit more information?
Yeah, so an election is actually a really great opportunity to inject these things back into the public narrative, because this is a time that candidates are vying for your votes. They want your support. So it's a great opportunity to attend all candidates' meetings in your area. Often the candidates will all get together and people can ask questions. They'll kind of have a panel discussion and you'll have an opportunity. You could ask specific questions about what will you do about sex selective abortion, or what will you do to protect preborn children in Canada, or where is your stance on that? Really getting that, getting to the heart of those hard questions when you have the opportunity. You can also volunteer. If you have a great candidate in your area, they're always looking for volunteers to door knock, to phone call, to sit in the office and stuff envelopes, to do whatever it might be. So our friends at Right Now have a great program for getting people involved in volunteering for elections and for candidates that they support that are pro-life. So that would be
that's
one way.
That's actually a really good point, actually. Seriously, like, if you're interested in getting involved, go to that organization Right Now. They're an organization that they're very friendly. We're very good friends with them. They have a different mission than ARPA Canada and We Need a Law. But one of their most recent emails I saw is that they've identified 103 pro-life candidates who they are willing to support. They need people to help support those candidates. So, yeah, if this is something that interests you and you're passionate about, then certainly go to It Starts Right Now. That's the organization website. It Starts Right Now. Can't remember if it's
.ca.
Is it .ca? Yeah. And there will be easy ways to get involved there. So thanks for bringing that up. That's good.
And of course, things like letters to the editor. I mean, already in our local paper, I've seen letters to the editor about the election. Someone had a really good line. It's like, if you're going to spend time choosing an avocado in the produce section, then you should be spending time researching who's going to be your representative. Yeah. And I thought that was such a great point. There's so many things we give our time to, but actually spending that time looking into who's running in your riding, knowing about some of these issues, being comfortable talking about them. So yeah, ARPA Canada also has a webpage that Ryan's been updating that has a federal election guide that has talking points on some of our key issues, including abortion, and just would give you questions to ask if you have the opportunity to interact with a candidate. Yeah, that's where the other podcasts can be found, lots of that kind of information, just being engaged, being aware. You can get a lawn sign for a candidate you support. There's lots of ways to, and even just in that way, you're engaging your neighbors more, because we know voter turnout keeps going down. And Canadians are generally kind of disengaged. So it's actually an opportunity not just to engage with candidates, but to engage with your community and say, we should care about who's running our country and what their beliefs are and what kind of worldview they're bringing to our culture. And I think it's a good opportunity relationally too.
Yeah, very much so. I think what the last couple of months has really taught us, and I've been just, as we process, especially as our colleagues talked about in previous episodes, the changes in polling and so on, is that elections matter. Like, I think that's what you're saying, like, get involved, because elections do matter. Like, it matters who God essentially selects to lead Canada, to rule over Canada through us, like the people being involved. So yeah, get out there and do what you can to support candidates who are worthy. I think as we come to the end of our time together, it's also, for me, really important that while elections do matter, we maintain a proper perspective on all of this. I don't know about you, Anna, but people in my family, people in my church community and so on, when they see now this poll switch, it tells me kind of two things. One is that a lot of people were actually looking for hope in Pierre Poilievre and the Conservatives. Like, they were the ones who were going to save Canada. And now that everything's switched, there's a lot of fear, actually, and hopelessness kind of setting in. And I think that, you know, ARPA Canada is like, no, like, we can't do that. We have to kind of be a beacon of hope. We're God's people here in Canada, and there is so much opportunity for us to be that salt and light, and we need to do that, especially when it comes to the lives of preborn children, do what we can to advocate on their behalf. And ultimately that, you know, We don't serve princes, and our hope is not in princes or kings. It's in Jesus Christ. He's our King, and we know He's one.
Mm-hmm.
He's one, and it's our responsibility to now just in so far as we can, through living lives of thankfulness out of our catechism, that we do that well. Also, when it comes to politics mm-hmm. and election campaigns.
So, and I think it's a real attitude of humility, of saying they don't have all the answers, neither do we.
Mm-hmm.
Just never criticizing and being hateful towards people, but really focusing on policies and trying to bring clarity on what we oppose specifically, not opposing an individual. Again, recognizing that we're all sinful human beings. We're all trying to do our best. And you would hope that genuinely the people wanting to lead our country think that they can do what's best for the country. And they may be wrong, but to think that they do genuinely, they are trying. And to, like you say, to pray, to put them in God's hands, to recognize that He's putting them in those positions
mm-hmm.
and to be a light where we are as much as we can in our own communities.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that prayer as well, because obviously that's the primary, the most important thing that we can do is pray for our countries, pray for everyone who's put themselves forward as a candidate in this election. I have firsthand experience doing that. And I know that when people are praying for me as a candidate in the election, and this goes back to a time even prior to ARPA, long time ago now, but that was important. And I think that, you know, pastors, church leaders, families, like, bring this to the Lord in prayer, that His will would be done in this. Mm-hmm. And that even if His will is different than what we would hope for, that we're still able to accept that, to embrace it mm-hmm. and move forward with hope and joy towards the future.
Mm-hmm. And to keep bringing these issues up, to keep saying, regardless of who's in power, these things matter because they matter to God, and it's an injustice. And we're going to keep talking about it, whether people want it to be talked about or not.
Amen. All right. That's episode 3. Thanks a lot. And stay tuned for a number of more episodes as we go through the final 3 weeks of the election campaign. All right. 33. 22 minutes.